Loving God, I pray that you would speak to us now. Speak through your word. Speak through my words. Speak through the thoughts in our hearts. Amen. So, welcome to Lent. We are now officially in that journey towards Easter. I don't know how you feel about Lent, but it can sometimes feel like quite a heavy time. It can feel quite a weighty time as we journey towards Easter. It can also feel a little bit a time, I don't know if you give things up, but it feels like it's come into the world, the sort of mentality of our society that Lent is that time, oh, well, we're going to give things up. It's going to be a real practice of self-control. We're going to do a little bit more of that asceticism. I can never say that word, but you know when you sort of strip things away and you're going to be really strict on yourself. It's about sort of punishing yourself ready to get yourself ready for Easter. I'm not saying those things are wrong, but I really struggle with that view of Lent because Lent feels very difficult anyway without making it even harder. And also sometimes those things when people say they're going to give stuff up, it feels a little bit more like they're just taking this as an opportunity for self-improvement in the, you know, I'm going to give up chocolate because actually I know I should give up chocolate and here's a nice defined time I can do it for. And it's not actually the motivation of trying to draw nearer to God through Lent. It's just about maybe losing a bit of weight before Easter. But I'm not saying that that practice of giving things up is wrong. I'm just wondering if there is another way. And I was really excited this year, actually. It felt like a real blessing to me when I discovered that this year, because I've talked about the lectionary before, haven't I? The lectionary is that document that takes us through the Bible over a period of 3 years, so that on a Sunday, we have actually covered the majority of the Bible over 3 years. And so it sort of sets out the readings, and it means that we go through a different gospel over those 3 years. And this year we're going through Mark. So we have Mark's account of Jesus going into the wilderness. We associate Lent with those 40 days that Jesus went into the wilderness. And that's where some of our practice of giving things up and being strict on ourselves comes from. Because, you know, Jesus went through 40 days tested in the desert, and we should push ourselves through that same kind of pain barrier, then we can really identify with Jesus. But bring us to Mark and the reading that Jojo just read to us, which is, that is completely stripped back. We don't really have much of an account of Jesus in the wilderness. We sort of have that one line. And Jesus went into the wilderness where he was tempted, and the angels ministered to him, move on. That's all we have in Mark. You might be used to that idea of Jesus in the wilderness, thinking the only stories we have of Jesus in the wilderness are the ones from Matthew and Luke, where we have the temptations of the devil and it's a big, long passage. In Mark, we just have that verse. Jesus went into the wilderness. He was tempted. God helped him. Move on. For Mark, it seems that that is not the important focus. So I wonder if there is something for us to learn about Lent from Mark this year. Something about stripping back everything to the simplicity of there are tough times, but God helps us. Let's move on to the next bit. The next bit in Mark's gospel is the important bit for Mark. If you look at that whole passage that was just read, the bits that are focused on is Jesus' baptism. We have relatively, for Mark, who's very, very brief, we have quite a bit about Jesus' baptism, the skies being torn open, the Spirit descending on Jesus, and the voice of God speaking. We have a beautiful Trinitarian view. We have Jesus, the embodiment of God, the Spirit filling Jesus, and God saying, this is my son, I'm well pleased with him, listen to him. Mark is laying out, this is Jesus, listen. We slightly skip over the wilderness bit because the next bit that Mark focuses on is what Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here. It's near us. Come back to God and believe that good news. That's where Mark is focusing on. It's not focusing on the temptations in the wilderness. He sort of stripped that back and come to the really important bit. So I wonder if for us, Lent, this year, we might be able to do some of that stripping back and finding what is the important bit that we need to focus on. Rather than looking at Lent as a trial and a test that every day is more and more weighty, and we get to Easter on our knees. Being on our knees at Easter is a good place, by the way, but not necessarily pushed down there. But what if we look through Lent at the point of what Mark was saying, that the gospel, the good news, that the kingdom of God has come near. Yourselves turn around and draw near to God. Trust in that good news. What about if that is the way that we should be walking through Lent? Not focused on testing ourselves, but actually focused on the prize. Focused on Easter and what it means that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And yes, probably we will end up at Easter on our knees again, but in worship, not bowed down. I mentioned this morning, at the beginning, that the Old Testament reading that comes up with this passage from Mark was the story of the covenant that God made with Noah. So the end of the flood, and God said, I'm going to put the bow in the sky, the rainbow in the sky. And this will be my covenant to you, that no more will I send a flood on the earth. No more will I wipe out humanity. God is saying, I am for you from now on. And in that reading, this promise, this covenant that God made is repeated again and again and again. It's like really ramming it home. This is the covenant. This is the promise. And this is what we hold on to. When we go into the wilderness, when we go into times of testing, God will help us. Let's focus on the gospel and what Jesus has done in that. There's such a statement of faith, and I understand that that can be more complicated, and it can involve huge amount of thought and torment as we learn what it means. But sometimes I think it's really important that we just strip back our faith to the essentials. God has promised to be with us in hard times. God will be with us in hard times. And we know that because of the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near. Come back to God and believe this good news. So we're going to, as is our usual wont, respond now in our own ways, depending on how you would like to. One is a challenge for those of you who would like to do this, is to try and draw a picture of an animal or a face in as few lines as possible. Strip back how you picture that thing. What are the important bits, the features that would really define, so that everyone knows you're looking at an elephant rather than a mouse? Or you know that it's a face and not a picture of your dinner. What are the key things? So draw a picture and strip back. I don't know if any of you were brought up on the Good News translation of the Bible, but I actually taught myself to draw through the Good News illustrations because they are amazing that in three lines they can show someone worshipping, and in three different lines they show someone praying. And I was like, how does someone manage to draw with just three lines and I can see what they're saying? Anyway, that's the kind of idea. Have a go at drawing, stripping back all the superfluous details and just find the key important things, which is what I think Mark is doing in his reading. If you prefer doing a little bit more of in-depth Bible study and wrestling with the Bible, you might like to have a look at the Mark account of the wilderness we just heard read, with the Matthew account of Jesus in the wilderness and the Luke account of Jesus in the wilderness, and do a bit of a compare and contrast. What bits is Mark missing out? Do you like that he missed those out? Are you sad that he missed certain bits out? What has he missed out that you think, actually, that's really valuable for me and really helpful? So you can have that as a conversation. You could do it as your own sort of study, or you could have a little conversation with others about this account of Jesus in the wilderness. Is Mark helpful for you in that stripping back?